Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
Hey there, AfterBuzz TV fans and Star Wars fans. Welcome to a special episode of Spotlight On. We are going to be breaking down a retrospective of Star Wars Rebels with a very, very special guest, the one and only Vanessa Marshall. Stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hey there, AfterBuzz fans. Thank you so much for joining us for today's Spotlight On. Let's go ahead and not waste any time. I'm your host, Megan Salinas. To my left is the lovely Katie Cullen.
Hi, all my buddies.
And joining us in the studio today is the fantastically talented Vanessa Marshall.
Hello.
Thank you so much for coming in today.
Oh, I'm so grateful to be here. I'm so glad we finally are able to do this.
Yeah, you were. Fun fact for anybody who might not have, who might not remember all the way back to season one of Star Wars Rebels, but Vanessa was actually the very first guest that we had on for our Star Wars Rebels after show.
It was so much fun. I know. I'm so grateful to finally come back. Yay!
Yeah,
I feel like we're bookending a little.
A little bit.
Yeah, it's always been wonderful getting to. The chance to talk to you about this show in particular.
Yeah, I've seen you on a couple red carpets here and there, but it's not the same. This is way more fun.
Yeah, and you've been able to call in a couple times. You've always been super gracious with your time, but there's nothing quite like hanging out in the studio.
Definitely.
Exactly. So let's go ahead and go back, talking about bookending, let's go back to the beginning a little bit. Mm-hmm. How initially did you get involved with Star Wars Rebels?
Well, like many animated shows, I received an audition, and it was called Wolf. I didn't know what it was. That was sort of its undercover name. And it made mention of like a sun sword and the cause and certain things. As a Star Wars fan, I generally think everything has everything to do with Star Wars. So I just made it Star Wars for myself. And luckily, it kind of panned out because it was indeed Star Wars Rebels. And I got a call back, and when I went into the room and I saw a picture of the Twi'lek race, and that was meant to be my character, and then I looked over and saw Dave Filoni behind the glass, I realized what I had done. And I'm surprised that, like, Wolf should have been the dead giveaway. I'm also a Clone Wars fan, so, you know, you got your Wolf pack. Like, of course. But I don't know. I guess I never thought I'd be so lucky to be working on a Star Wars cartoon or anything like that. Nothing against myself, but just that's like Christmas explosion forever and ever. You know what I mean? So anyway, I got the call back and I drove away. And I remember I called my friend and I said, this is as good as my life is ever going to get. and I kept the parking pass from that day. And
aww.
Yeah. And then, so then I got the call that I booked the job, and then I lost it. I literally was sobbing. I could not even function. And then it began. And then, of course, I had to, you know, just be a professional and do my job. And I could fangirl flail on my own time. but that was sort of the original beginning.
Yeah, because this is the dream, isn't it? Being on a Star Wars project in any capacity, long-running Team Mom character.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Yeah, I was just blown away. I'm so grateful because I saw the first film with my aunt. Mm-hmm. My parents, they met in Boulder High School, and so my whole family lives in Colorado. And sometimes my parents would just sort of deposit me there for the summer, which was like like long-term babysitter care, you know, because I had a million cousins and we had so much fun. We'd go hiking and this and that. And she took us to see, you know, what's now known as A New Hope. And I loved it. I loved it. And so throughout this whole process, I've called my aunt and I've said, can you even imagine if you would have told us that I would be having anything to do with this narrative on any level? Like, both of us just sit there and freak out. So anyway.
So I have to ask, yeah, what was your aunt's reaction when you told her you were going to be a part of this?
She was so happy. She was so happy. Yeah. She was like, you're a star. You're a star.
Aww.
I know. She's like just the kindest soul in the world. She's an amazing woman. She had stage 4 ovarian cancer, and they gave her like a half hour to live. She's been fine for 12 years.
Wow.
That's how resilient she is. I mean, the power of positive thing. I mean, she's just so supportive and kind to everybody and apparently to her own body. So, yeah, I'm grateful she's around to celebrate this with me.
She sounds incredible.
Yeah, she's amazing. She's my hero.
So, knowing that you've been a big Star Wars fan for a long time, I guess, like, looking at the way that they had initially used the code words for Star Wars, I guess that should have been a dead giveaway for how the series was going to end in terms of how tied in with nature it was going to be.
And Dave Filoni's got a thing for wolves, doesn't he?
Yeah. A little bit. Yes. Most certainly. Yeah. Yep, yep.
So that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So kind of looking at this series as a whole, it's one thing to talk about a particular season or to talk about a particular sort of set of plot points or like where it lies in the time frame. But looking at this series as a whole, what do you think your favorite bit of development for Hera was?
Well, personally, I really enjoyed, there was an episode called Wings of the Master when Hera flies the B-Wing. And as a Star Wars fan, that meant everything to me. As the daughter of a pilot, my dad was in the Air Force, and he flies an open cockpit biplane and does aerobatics. Like, he's, you know, and he said that Harrison Ford goes to these pilots meetings that they have, and he's so cool. And I love to hear that. I've never met Harrison Ford, but anyway, it meant a lot to me because I see the same values in Hera's worldview that my dad embodies that I respect so much. And I felt like that episode really fleshed that out. And that was special to see. I also loved some of the moments with her father where they sort of had a nice big healing moment together and sort of joined forces. And we got to find out a little bit more about her history back on Ryloth. And, you know, the recent developments with her, with Kanan, where we get to see a little bit more of that stuff in front of the camera. And then, of course, you know, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen the fourth season, tune out for a sec. But
for the rest of the interview.
Tune out.
Yeah, you might want to
go to
come
Amazon,
back
buy the Blu-ray, and watch it and then come back.
Yeah.
But for her to have a child with Kanan, I thought was such a beautiful way to end the show. It was just lovely. And as a nerd, the moment that Ahsoka came down the stairs and revealed herself as Fulcrum at the end of season one, for me, was everything. But that's just, you know. Yeah. That's my fangirl answer, but anyway.
No,
I think that was everything for a lot of people.
Oh my, yeah. She's back, she's alive! Oh, I was crying.
And then to get that again at the end of the series,
yes.
Too.
Thank you, God. Yes. Thank you. I know. So I'm now hoping and campaigning that he'll do something where we get to see Ahsoka and Sabine go and retrieve Ezra wherever he is. And then, of course, I'm very curious how Hera raises her son and, you know, whether or not he has Jedi capabilities. And so more will be revealed, hopefully, there. Hopefully.
Fingers so we crossed. Want another in-between series, except instead of before A New Hope, we want it before Force Awakens.
Exactly.
I'm down.
Yeah. And before what will now be, I guess, Resistance, which takes place...
I believe during The Force Awakens.
Is it? I thought it was right before. Maybe I'm wrong.
It might be right before, but I feel like it's still in the same era.
It is indeed. 30, yeah. It's very close. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
They've
kept a pretty tight lid on everything.
I know nothing. All I know is it's beautiful and I can't wait to see it.
We're kind of in it exists territory.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm sitting here going, but I need more details, guys.
Yeah, I know. I would love more.
I don't see why we can't have two Star Wars series going at the same time, because one of them is this and the other one is Cosmic Road Trip.
Let's go. I like it. I like it. I like it.
But speaking of other Star Wars series, there was a pretty big announcement at San Diego Comic-Con to sort of celebrate the 10-year anniversary of Clone Wars. So as a big Star Wars fan yourself, that must have been pretty exciting.
I wanted to be there so badly. Yeah, I had heard that was going to be announced. And I knew... I thanked Dave Filoni. I said, our country needs this right now. And I think it will heal all of us to have our Clone Wars back again. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Dave Filoni. Yeah, I couldn't be there that day, and I know that the room exploded. I felt it in Los Angeles.
Yeah. You felt it reverberate.
A great disturbance in the force.
A positive one. It was so good.
It was like so many fans cried out.
Oh, my gosh.
Continue to do so for a while.
Yeah, that's right up there with Fulcrum climbing down the stairwell. It's just, yes, thank you.
So it'll be... Looking at, like, the timeline of Clone Wars, mm-hmm. it's interesting to think if maybe a younger depiction of Hera will come into play at any point.
I wonder. I mean, they did have the Ryloth arc. I think it was in their season one. But you never know. Maybe Chom will come back. Maybe Saw Gerrera. Who knows? I hope.
There's a wide array of characters that they can play around with.
Yeah, so. For sure.
I'd love to see that first meeting with Chopper.
Oh!
Yeah, good idea.
Oh, that'd be wonderful.
Yeah.
But talking about Hera and how she sort of has a life that's not contained to just Star Wars Rebels. Mm-hmm. She's a character that's sort of grown past a lot of that. And we mm-hmm. see that in a little bit of Forces of Destiny.
Yes.
Now, when they initially told you that they were doing a web series or a shorter form narrative mm-hmm. of Star Wars that focused on women and the women within the universe, what was your reaction?
I was thrilled. And the fact that it also comes with action figures to match, that's also heavenly. I was thrilled, and I love them. They're just sort of like bite-sized nuggets of Star Wars. They're just perfect. The one with Han Solo, I couldn't believe what I was reading when I read that. I was like, oh my goodness, how is this even happening? But those are continuing, so we'll at least get more of Hera in those, so... That'll be ongoing, thank God. I want to see where else she's been and going.
Yeah, so given anything that you could see Hera do in sort of these offshoot side stories, what would you like to see?
I would love to see her hang out with Asajj Ventress.
Oh, my God.
Stop. That would be amazing.
Because I don't think Asajj would like her too much. But then I think they would come around. And I wonder, since she ultimately was a mercenary and she would sort of go with the highest bidder or whatever she felt like doing, and she is the coolest, I wonder if she may have... She may have helped the rebels a little bit somehow. I don't know, which would have been a really fascinating addition to her character arc as far as, you know, her going from Dooku to possibly helping the rebels. She did work with Snip, so maybe, you know, it's not that earth-shattering. But still, I would love to see what that meeting was like, especially having read A New Dawn, the book about how Hera met Kanan. I would love to see, well, what was it like when Hera met Asajj, if she ever did, and how did that go?
Yeah. She just adopts angry ex-force wielders, doesn't
there
she?
There you go, exactly.
Like cats.
Yeah. That's funny.
And kind of touching on that, yeah. One of the great things about Rebels as a series is sort of getting to fill in some of these gaps for characters that have become fan favorites,
yeah.
Like Ahsoka Tano and even kind of recently Darth Maul.
Oh my!
And we see from the recent Solo, a Star Wars story. You know, yes. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, how cool is that?
It was super cool.
Yeah, I had to see that about 400 times first of all, because everyone always asks, like, which is faster or better, the Falcon or the Ghost? And I've had many conversations with Pablo. I would do a respectable 14, but that's that. You know, they're different ships. They fulfill different needs. But the fact that, if you've not seen... So Han Solo movie, just tune out again.
If you're not up to date on Star Wars.
Ish. Well, because that Kessel Run is not the Kessel Run that we would be normally talking about. So if he did that in 12 parsecs, I thought, oh gosh, well then would he have done it the other way? My brain, I was spinning out. And then came Darth Maul. So that was like, yeah.
You were already overheating and that was all you needed to just shut the system down.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the case with Force Awakens when Han Solo and Kylo Ren dance at the end, if you will. I ceased to function at that point as well. It was only by the third viewing that I could process that. So, yeah, multiple viewings necessary for some Star Wars narratives.
For sure.
I will say, in the battle between ships, I'm sure the Ghost has better upkeeping.
Well, I've got the gunneries. I mean, the guns for days. So, I mean, I'm well equipped to fight a good fight. But he could probably pass as a freighter and go sort of more undercover than the Ghost. I mean, these are things that Pablo has said. We've talked about it a lot. So
Ghost is probably a little bit more conspicuous, but yeah, I think I would like to think
that
Hera...
The Ghost is also a little less of a bachelor pad.
Yes.
Hera certainly takes care of the ship a lot better.
You take here's the shiny new Millennium Falcon interiors, and then look at them in A New Hope and go, can you hire a cleaning crew?
Yeah,
like, there's got to be someone who can come in and just oxy-clean the hell out of this.
Oh,
come on.
I do love the Falcon, though. I do.
Oh, yeah.
It's a wonderful ship, but everybody calls it a piece of junk for a reason.
It's a wonderful ship, but if you don't do any upkeep on it, it's going to stop being a wonderful ship.
There's that.
But.
Yeah. But anyway, I was really happy to see Darth Maul in the Solo movie. And, I loved all that entire... part in the story where, you know, he meets with his brother and his sister and his mother and they rebuild him and all that stuff in the Clone Wars, and to see him come into Star Wars Rebels and deal with Obi-Wan and then, you know, of course, seeing him in the Han Solo movie, it was very satisfying.
Yeah, especially because, if I'm not mistaken, you and some of the other Rebels crew got to do some voices in Solo.
Yes, we were a bunch of the characters, the children, the aliens. I couldn't really pick out my own voice. I could hear David Sobolov, who was there, and Terry Douglas. She's the voice of a little boy. It was adorable. She did such a great job. I could definitely hear her. But how fun is that to sit around? It was very different because we only saw sort of portions of the film and scored beneath it. So I still needed to see the whole movie to figure out how that all came together and how it ended. So, and we didn't do anything for the Kessel Run part, so I had no idea.
So that must have been a treat, being a fan
of course,
and just getting to see it unfold.
So awesome, yeah.
I think my favorite aspect about the additional voices was I'm fairly certain that what Star Wars Rebels did in that casting Steve Bloom to play every other stormtrooper, it was nice to see that in Solo as well.
Absolutely. Steve was there. That's right. Yes, you hear him. That's right. In the pivotal scene, I guess, where Han meets Chewie. Yeah, that was amazing. I love Steve. Steve and Mary, actually. Mary Elizabeth's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. Talking about Mary, one of my favorite things about the way Rebels sort of wrapped up was looking at her character, Governor Price.
Yes.
And sort of seeing her rise to power and her fall from grace as well.
Yeah. Yeah. That battle scene with the wolves, you know, that's Kevin Kiner at his finest. I mean, that was just epic. I really, really love the music scoring that.
Yeah.
So unexpected.
The entire PG-13 score.
The wolves carrying that out was unexpected. Brilliant music is always expected from Lucasfilm. Yeah.
You have wolves killing people, but it's all still very PG.
Yeah.
You know they're gone, but you don't see anything. God. Just the fight choreography for that was beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. Something sort of interesting about all of Star Wars is that it is a family-friendly property in most of its incarnations, but it's not afraid to it's not afraid to go dark in a lot of capacities.
For sure, yeah. They did do that quite a bit, and I was shocked, but Dave felt really strongly, particularly in season 4. If you haven't seen it, shut this off.
But I think we've
established that. All right, I just feel guilty, like, spoiler alert.
We're talking about the release. It's
yeah. Okay. Yeah. They've seen it. Well, you'd be surprised. I've been at conventions. They're like, please stop talking. You know. So I guess I'm
spoiler
conditioned.
Spoiler alert! I haven't gotten to see it yet.
Well, how long has it been out? Get yourself a Disney XD subscription and do the thing.
There you go. But when we lose Kanan, Dave Filoni was very particular about doing that early in season 4 because even though it's a dark subject, he really wanted to show how families need to grieve, how important that is, and how they can come together and come out the other end of it being stronger and more hopeful than before. And I thought that was really wise of him to do that. So even some of the darker things, they weren't sort of gratuitous. They had a really important agenda that I think, you know I healed through witnessing that and then watching them triumph ultimately.
Although that scene is definitely on the back of the box, which, rude.
Yeah, whoops.
Just rude.
That hair, though, I loved his haircut, right? What?
No.
I loved it.
I'm very glad you did. We all kind of went, what did you just do?
Oh, that worked for me. I was like, what's all that hair?
I kind of loved the cowboy ponytail he had going on for a couple of years. It was time for a change, though.
Yeah. I don't know, but I kind of liked it. It went with his whole, I mean, for his eyes to sort of light up again as if he were actually seeing, I needed different hair. All of it was just, it was just so well done. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the thing, is that change was needed in that moment.
For
so
sure.
His outward appearance reflected that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So I do want to ask, because there are devastating plot points, such as losing Kanan.
Sure.
Was there anything in particular, from a performance standpoint, that you found particularly challenging?
No, I think it wasn't. Well, all of it was challenging to try and like stay focused without fangirl flam. There's that. But it was so well written that it was a lot easier to say the words. They all made sense in that order. I mean, everything felt very natural and I felt very empowered and supported by Dave and the whole cast, and we came to know each other, and Dave trusted that we knew our characters so well that I don't know that I was ever afraid or and I mean, there's always a certain measure of being you know, sort of hopeful that this goes as well as it can or whatever. But
you put a lot of faith in your director.
Yeah, but I knew we would come out the other end, and we did so many different takes and different versions. It was really more fun to see what did they end up choosing. Yeah, that some of that Kanan stuff was it was very cathartic to do that, to be able to feel those feelings and sort of literally heal it live, I guess. But I probably cried more watching it than I did in the actual show recording it. But just because it was very powerful. The way they animated it was just, it's always beyond anything I could ever imagine. It was great.
Yeah, it was executed exceedingly well.
Yeah. Pretty devastating, which was the point.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Was there ever any point in this where you disagreed with the script, where you improvised something or said, "Oh, I thought she'd say this instead"? Or
no, they were pretty much always right on. I know Freddie had more things like that. He was more outspoken in that way, but I always felt like things were dead on. I always do things as written at first, and if I think of anything, I'll offer it up. But and that's what I'm saying. Freddie would offer up a couple things sometimes, but generally we trusted Dave, and Dave really knows Star Wars. I mean, George Lucas taught him everything, so that was fun to just go wherever he led. Yeah,
One thing that was sort of an element that was brought in season three, mm-hmm. that I think made a lot of fans of the expanded universe happy, was bringing in Thrawn.
Oh.
And something that
talk about music, right?
Oh, he's so good. But something that I found very, very fascinating about bringing in a character like him was the dynamic that he brought between him and Hera.
Yes.
Because even though he is a genius, I felt like he had a very respectful attitude towards General Syndulla.
Absolutely. Yeah, he was playing the long game, clearly. Quite the chess player. And, boy, the way he collects art. And I mean, he's always done that. His character is sort of like that. But the ability to be so detached, the way Lars would exhale his lines, it was so creepy. I never met him, and I never worked with him. I recorded everything by myself and had no clue what Thrawn sounded like. I know what he looked. I mean, at least, you know, from the books, you know, and some of the images. But seeing it all put together with that music was chilling. And for him to sort of lose different battles and not care was interesting to watch. Like, he really was quite the chess player. But I was talking to Pablo about that as well. Pablo Hidalgo is like my go-to, you know, hey, Pablo, what do you think? He is brilliant. But when he takes her Kalachori, they're just like certain sadistic things that he did in such a cool way that would just... It was really haunting. He said that he thinks Thrawn uses more of his mind and Hera is ruled more by her heart. And they are victorious with those things sort of independently. Neither's worse nor better. But when they collide, it's an interesting bit of tension there, you know. So, I that's another thing that I loved watching come together. And I got to punch Lando Calrissian. That was also cool. Billy Dee Williams was in the middle of doing Dancing with the Stars at the time. So he came in the morning and did his bit, and I recorded everything by myself. I think, was that season two?
It might have been season one, actually.
I feel like that was season one, because that was it? Early on.
When did Leia come? Because Leia was season two. Yeah, because I think it was when Leia was there.
Yeah, he did come back for a little bit.
He came back, but I think the initial I Have Sold You was season one.
Yeah. Anyway, but that would have been nice to have seen. I've seen him at conventions, and I want to say, like, hey, I punched you, you know, but... I don't
security?
Know. Yeah, exactly. I just sort of keep it light and polite. Like when I met Peter Mayhew, alias Chewbacca, I couldn't look at him because his eyes, you're looking at Chewie's eyes.
Aww.
And I try and act normal. Like, how are you supposed to? That's just not happening. So I hope I wasn't rude to him trying to like avoid his eyeballs. But
I've definitely done that before where you're like, I can't get lost in your eyes.
Well, but have you ever, I mean, if you meet someone who's that big of a celebrity, you want to sort of give them their personal space.
Mm-hmm.
But then I realize like you can kind of be disrespectful toward them because they're also human beings. And sometimes, you know, just be kind
and
say
hello. Why won't she
look at me? Yeah, exactly. I realized after the fact, I was like, wow, maybe I should have been kind instead of, you know, trying to be so respectful that I was actually maybe rude. Hopefully not. I don't know. Who knows?
And when it's someone that means that much to you, it completely shorts out your brain.
My first action figure was Chewbacca. And so, come on, dude. I can't. I just can't breathe. I can't do it at all. But yeah. Anyway.
And I think we've all done that at least once. There's always at least one person where it's like, I'm meeting you now. Oh, God.
Well, the only, outside of Star Wars, the only other person that I felt that way with where it just was English escaped me was Jodie Foster.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that'll do it.
Nope. Don't even know how to, can't, just, you know. Yeah. I have such respect for her. She's amazing.
Incredible filmmaker.
Mm-hmm.
For certain. Although talking about now that the series is done and the story has been told,
mm-hmm.
It's interesting because we were talking about this a little bit before the show. It's sort of going to continue to live on in another way, in another format. Is that something you can sort of talk about a little bit?
Which format are you talking about?
In the form of maybe a game or two?
Yes. Well, the role-playing game, is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
Okay, cool. I was like,
sorry, I was being too cryptic.
Being specific.
Well, here's the thing. We were sitting around Steve Bloom and Mary Elizabeth. They play Critical Role, and they play D&D and this and that. And so we were sitting around, and we were like, what would we do if we could play, like, a Star Wars role-playing game? And we all went, you know. And like, I'm going to get the dice. I want to do this. I'm going to do that. And then Freddie was like, no, I'm going to make a YouTube channel. I'm going to call it Good Evening and Good Game. And we're going to get Darth Maul to be the dungeon master. And we're all going to sit around and play Age of Empires Star Wars role-playing game. Wow, Freddie lived the dream. So leave it to Freddie. Boom. That actually happened. And there are 5 episodes on Freddie's YouTube channel now. Good evening and good game. G-E-G-G, if you want to Google that. And these games are great. Now, I had played D&D one time with a couple who I believe were sort of on the verge of breaking up. So, Yeah, and like it was really great food, so I was medicating with food throughout the entire process. I don't really remember much else other than, like, I don't know that this is, like, the healthiest game in the world. But that's not fair because they, you know, he was the DM and it was just awkward. And but that's not what happens in our game. Taylor had never played before. We both, like, the noobs, you know, we sort of learned by the end of it. Taylor was crushing it. And, the 5th episode, we kind of came into our own, and now we're like, okay, let's do this. And we're going to do a ton of them. I think several other, Star Wars role-playing games as well. So definitely stay tuned for more of those antics. I think Tia's going to join us. We might have D. Bradley Baker come and join us as well. You got to get a little Rex in there. We're playing the games as ourselves, and we're not, you know, doing it as Hera and Kanan and whatever else, but, you know, we're obviously the people who were in the cartoon. It's just a lot of fun, and Sam is fantastic. He's actually just written a book on how to play Dungeons and Dragons, and Google that as well. It's worth it. Who knew? He's like king nerd of all time. I guess we kind of knew that. Christian Harloff, what is that?
Schmoes, yeah.
Yeah, I think he won last year, didn't he?
The Schmodown?
In terms of talking about Star Wars stuff, yeah. I would not want to get into a Star Wars fight with Sam.
No, you sit Christian and Sam down, and you get some popcorn, and you just go, all right, go. Begin.
Yeah. You throw out a topic and then you run
they
away.
Go. Yeah.
You get behind the glass, you put your headphones on, and you just listen to it go down.
Yeah. But anyway, so it's loads of fun, and that's ongoing, so we get to hang out and do that together. So
he sounds like a perfect choice for DM.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's lovely. Yeah. He's like just mean enough, but yeah. He's the best.
But not unfair.
No. And he loves it. And he was so happy that we grew as players and kind of came into our own. It was great.
Well, I'm looking forward to more of those. That'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
We are sort of a little bit on the tail end of our show. Are there any other upcoming projects that you'd like to talk about that you can talk about?
Yeah, well, as we said, Forces of Destiny is ongoing, so you can look for new episodes of that. People obviously can get the season 4 DVD for Star Wars Rebels here. I don't know if you can see that. It's awesome. Dave Filoni has all sorts of commentary, and Kevin Kiner talks about the music. Dave goes on and on about the Force. I won't ruin things, but it's really special stuff. There's Rebels Recon stuff on here. Over 6 hours of content. So that's definitely worth checking out.
It's almost as long as the season itself.
Yeah, no, for sure. There's also, I just did an episode of Ben 10 and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Yeah, there are 2 other major franchise things that I did that I can't wait to announce. And there's a game that I'm the lead in, and I can't wait to talk about that. But, of course, I can't. If folks want to follow me on Twitter, at Van Marshall, I will announce things as I can. And we'll stay connected that way.
Out of all the upcoming stuff that you can talk about, what are you most excited about?
Let's see. To be honest with you, the role-playing game is pretty awesome. Yeah, I mean, that's not really a cartoon per se, but we're about to really expand on that in a way that I think is going to be fun to watch. So that'll be a fun way for us to interact that we've not previously been able to do. So I think that has me the most excited. But the other things that I can't announce actually excite me a little bit more. So I wish I could tell you.
So we'll just stay tuned then.
Yes, I guess so. Yeah, sorry about that.
So people definitely need to follow you and make sure that they stay up to date.
Sure.
On all of the upcoming stuff.
I'm sure they'll hear about it one way or another. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So, yeah, as we are coming to a little bit of a close, one thing that I really appreciate, again, about Star Wars Rebels mm-hmm. and just about the sort of state of the franchise in general mm-hmm. is how much it wants to give women a platform and women
yes,
a voice.
For sure.
And I found Hera in particular to be very, very inspirational. And it makes... She's a character I wish I could have seen growing up.
Absolutely, yeah.
And so, since Hera has, I think, done a lot to inspire a younger generation mm-hmm. who can grow up with her as a female character, is there anything in particular you want to say to people who look up to you as an actor and as a voice for people in fandom? Is there anything you want to say to them who might want to get into acting or who might want to get into the world of creativity in any way?
Oh, well, I would say that every single person has a gift and is completely unique, and there's no one else like you. And I would encourage you to let your light shine, to find your voice, and to go for it. There's no reason not to. Whatever hobbies or things that bring anyone joy, I highly recommend doing those, because it's not enough to just take voiceover classes and step up to the microphone. It's good to have a full heart. You know, go on that vacation, do whatever it is that fills your soul so that, you know, you have perspective. Dee Bradley Baker is always reading something. Jess Harnell, always reading something. Like, they're always stimulated, and that comes through. I would just say never give up. One of my favorite things that Hera says is, we have hope. And I noticed that she says we, not I. So I would love for us all together to have hope. I think we need it. So let's stand together on the side of hope.
I love that. Katie, do you have any other final questions?
No, I think that's a real good place to...
I think that's awesome. An excellent place.
Very, very cool.
On.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for coming in. Yeah. It's always a pleasure getting to chat with you. And getting to chat with you about Star Wars and about other fun projects.
Yay.
Always a pleasure. So, thank you so much. One more time, for the people at home, where can they go if they want to keep up with you?
At Van Marshall on Twitter and on Instagram at Vanessa Marshall 1138.
Well, thank you again.
Thank you.
Yeah. Katie, where can people go if they want to keep up with you?
You can follow me all over the social medias as well as on YouTube and Twitch at Kiaxet. That is Kiaxet.
Ooh. And I'm Megan. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at TheMenguin. That's TheMenguin. Just follow me on Twitter. I've got a lot of fun stuff coming up. Vanessa, thank you so much
for
coming in.
Thanks.
Thank you guys all so much for watching. We will see you next time.
Bye-bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
May the Force be with you.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.